Hi,
Cool.
this is another interview podcast from With Just a Hint of Mayhem. And today we have back in the chair Carol Hodge, the obscenely talented singer-songwriter who's got a new album out, Vertiginous Drops, I hope I pronounced that correctly, which we reviewed recently. And it's a damn good one. And we'll get her to talk about that and also her previous albums and the way she's been working with so many other great artists. And we'll talk to her about that as well. So, Carol, over to you. What do you want to say about the new album? Because I love it.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I'm glad you like. I was wondering what you're going to say. You said obscenely, and I was thinking, oh, here we go. But you said
No.
talented, which is very kind of you. So the new album, Vertiginous Drops, it's been out for about a week, 2 weeks now, and it's my fourth album, which is bizarre to say. I released my first album in 2018. It's the best one I've done. I'm quite proud to be able to say that because I did an interview earlier and someone was asking me what's the mark of success with an album. And I think the most important criteria is for me to be able to say, is it better than the last one? And I think it is. I think I pushed myself harder, kind of took more risks, took more time, experimented more, and poured a lot more of myself into it. So yeah, that's the album.
It kind of feels to me it's much more of a full band album than some of your other stuff. And that's not I don't you know for me, I actually still love Savage Purge. It doesn't mean I don't consider this one good. I think I like the fact that you have challenged yourself. I like the fact that you have dared to be different. And I think for me, with an artist, that's what I love. Someone who doesn't think, oh, that must be really good. I'll do another one of those and another one of those. So I think, if you challenge yourself along that way, I think that's a great thing, personally.
Thank you. Yeah, it's quite easy to get formulaic. You know, if you've done something once or twice and it's worked, you just think, well, I'll just repeat that formula. But that's, to be honest, that's never on my agenda. I mean, obviously, there's going to be similarities between albums because they're all written by me, so there'll be some crossover. But I just came to this one with just a sort of fresh way of thinking and. Yeah, I wanted to push the arrangements a bit more. So there's like musical saw on there and bass flute and trumpet. And I've got some guest artists. So it's just kind of, expanded the sound a little bit more this time.
Yeah, I think the orchestrations and everything really, really kind of add to it. And I think that's partly what really drew me into it. It's I'm looking forward to seeing some of those songs played live, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I've been playing a few with my band. So we do The Price, which is the song that has Ginger Wildheart guesting on vocals on the album. We do Clean the Slate, which is the one with a big riff, big guitar riff
That's
that
good.
Chris Catalyst plays on the album. And we've just started doing Giving It Up Now, which is kind of the midpoint one with the big outro on it. So they're all very dynamic ones, so
That
it's
last one
quite
you
a lot of.
mentioned, that's more the kind of power ballady type one, I think, if I remember. I might be remembering the wrong song, but
Yeah, it is, and it's got like a 2 minute outro. All I can say with certainty is there will be uncertainty, so it's quite fun to do live.
Such an obvious phrase, but so damn true, unfortunately. So you mentioned Ginger Wildheart and others. You've played a lot with other musicians, haven't you? And some great ones, Steve Ignorant, Ginger himself, and many others. What are your kind of favourite experiences? I'm not asking you to pick a favourite one of all the ones you've played with. That would be completely unfair. But if you pick out some experiences that you've really enjoyed, say with Ginger or with Steve and so on.
Yeah, I mean, I can't play favorites because otherwise I'll be out of a job if they get wind of it.
No, that's why I wouldn't even ask the
Yeah.
question. It's...
You got to be careful with these rock stars, all right, just off the top of my head, I remember well the one of the tours I did with Ginger and John Poole last year. We played at a venue in Cardiff called Club Before Back. And when I was a teenager, that was always in the listings for Kerrang. It was always, where a load of bands that I liked played. And I'd never played it. It was my first time playing there at age 40. And I just had a moment on stage when I was like, if you told like 16-year-old Carol that she'd be playing Clwb Before Back, like with two members of the Wildhearts, then I don't think she would have believed you. So that was a nice moment, you know, when things just kind of come full circle and you're like, oh yeah, this is cool. And with Steve, one of my favorite things with Steve is seeing him get kind of like nervous and
Oh, yeah.
starstruck with people, because it's just like, yeah, but you're Steve Ignorant, why are you getting, you know, worried about meeting people? But last year we played one of the, I think it was Northwest Calling Festivals in Manchester, and he got asked to go up and sing a song with the Roots, and he was just
Oh,
like, he
wow.
was just absolutely beside himself. He was like a teenager. So that's always nice, you know, when you see people you look up to looking up to someone else, and it's all context, isn't it? It's all about your personal experience and what bands were important to you when you were younger, and yeah, it's
I think
nice though.
that's, but I think that shows a humanity in people. You know, it's kind of like they are just like you and me. And in terms of, you know, as a fan of music for years, I think what I love about the music scene now, there's many things I don't like about the music scene nowadays, but what I really love about it is it's kind of it brings me closer to artists in a way that I was never able to do before. And I don't mean in terms of just being in the same room on stage. It just you actually there's more. People expose themselves more in terms of their personalities. So in the past, it was kind of all that they live in this big mansion. They're kind of very aloof and you don't really know anything about them. Now, you know, perhaps too much in some cases, but I think it kind of also shows the good people for being good people, if that kind of makes any sense. I think, and I
Yeah,
like that.
absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, especially with Steve. I mean, Crass were always about, you know, there's no authority but yourself. They were all very much about there being, you know, unity, and the fans and the band were always on a level playing field. They didn't like the idea of ego and rock stardom and
Yeah.
all that. And it's, you know, it's one of the things that I think Steve is absolutely brilliant at, is he's talking to people and just being in the room. I mean, when we do Slice of Life gigs, as soon as we get to a venue, he's there at the bar and he's talking to people, and that doesn't stop until after the gig, you know. Sometimes to the point where I think he just needs, you know, I literally will go and just pull him away sometimes, because he needs to go and have a
Yes.
rest and have a break, because he's in his
Yeah.
60s, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's the great thing, I guess, about sort of social media and people who run their own accounts. You can actually just have a chat with them or comment, and they respond or like it or whatever. And it's quite an exciting thing, that sort of access, isn't it, to people? Like you say,
I
there's
think,
less.
yeah, I think it's there's less of a barrier than there was. And actually,
Yeah.
strangely, I remember in the early days of the internet, I'm a huge David Bowie fan, and Bowie kicked off BowieNet, and I was a member for a couple of years because it got you kind of, you know, free live CDs and things like that. But more importantly, he actually appeared in the chat under the moniker Sailor, I think it was. And it was always quite
Right.
exciting when you kind of went into the chat room and you saw this name there. You thought, he's there, you know. Not the same as it is nowadays, of course, but I think it was quite exciting for me back in that, well, probably 25 years ago or so now, maybe more. But yeah, and I
Yeah,
think
that's
it's sort of,
cool.
yeah, it's grown in a good way. So we've mentioned that you're going to be playing some of those songs live. What have you got, a kind of a specific tour lined up? What have you got in terms of live activity coming up?
Well, to be honest, it's a bit of a scattering of gigs at the moment. I don't have a cohesive tour put together. One thing I would like to do this year is to do lots of in-store gigs in independent record shops. That's something I'm
Oh,
kind of
nice one.
piecing together at the
Yeah.
moment. So yeah, so I'm doing quite a lot of gigs with Ginger, supporting him. So they're just kind of throughout the year, to be honest. Got quite a few coming up in like April, May, June, July. So it's kind of like weekendy gigs, like just sort of scattered across. Yeah, so I don't have a cohesive tour booked at the moment, but maybe that will happen at some point this
Okay,
year.
we'll watch this space, I think.
Yeah.
But the independent record stores, I like the sound of that actually. So would it be just a few kind of in stores in terms of playing a few acoustic things, or how would you actually normally do that? Obviously, you want to sell some vinyl and stuff while you're there, but
Oh yeah. It's just been me and a piano.
yeah.
I've got a couple already organized, And just like an afternoon playing for half an hour or whatever, and just a cool thing, isn't it? I like situations that I like playing unusual venues. So I like playing house gigs and, just sort of places you wouldn't normally expect to play. And I like situations that are kind of mutually beneficial. So I'd hope that if I was playing in a record shop, some people might come along to specifically see me and then stay and browse and buy and discover things they wouldn't necessarily have done. And vice versa. So
Well, we have a decent independent store in York. That's Vinyl Eddie. So if you want to reach out to them, I mean, it's a
Nice.
very, very tiny shop. So actually fitting much in there is quite difficult. But they normally have a band in there on Record Store Day, and I think they've got a local
Oh, great.
band. They got a local band coming this April. And we've had a band playing on the pavement before outside the shop because we couldn't fit them all in. So that's been quite interesting. But yeah,
Fab. Yeah, I love
I
that
like the
kind of thing.
feel of that. I think you get some really interesting people in independent record shops. I think often people who know their music like nobody else does.
Exactly. Yeah. The proper music geeks go there. So, yeah.
Nerds and geeks, and I'm in favor of nerds and geeks because in some cases I am one, you know. So
Always. They're the best people, without a shadow of a doubt.
definitely. Okay, so what about do you do much in the way of obviously you sing some of Steve's songs and Crass songs, but what do you do in the way of covers yourself? Out,
Covers.
yeah.
Oh. Well, that was an interested noise, not an noise, by the way. I just want to clarify that. Yeah, I do a few covers. Do you know, I'm actually toying with the idea, it'd be this year or next year, of doing a covers album. So
I
just
was
me
kind
and a
of hoping you'd
piano
say that, actually. But anyway, carry on.
covering versions of songs. So at the moment, in the ones that I sometimes put into my live set, Smash by The Offspring, which
Oh,
was a
brilliant. Yeah.
very, very important album to me when I was a teenager. I sometimes do Cornerstone by Bob Marley, because I performed that on an album, a tribute album.
Yeah.
And I often give people in the audience the choice between two covers. And generally speaking, people always want to hear my Leo Sayer cover, which is The Show
Which
Must
one?
Go On.
Oh,
The
that
Show
is
Must
an
Go On, yeah.
awesome song. Absolutely awesome song.
It's a good one. It's a banger.
I think his first album is just is overlooked. I think
Oh yeah,
you
he's
know,
so underrated. He's an amazing vocalist.
I think he went a bit poppy for me ultimately, but I think that first album with Show Must Go On there, and he, I can't remember who it was with, but he wrote with his writing partner, I think all the songs on Roger Daltrey's first solo album.
Oh really? Oh
So
no.
he wrote "Giving It All Away," which is a brilliant song.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. He's kind of very underrated. I think he's seen as just a throwaway pop artist, but I think
Yeah.
he's much much deeper than that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of soul in that voice of his. Absolutely.
And he's still touring, I think.
He is. Yeah, he played the well, I was gigging at the time as usual. But he played the Pictodrome in Home Firth quite recently.
Oh, nice one.
Which is a great venue. But yeah, I think with covers, it's for me, it's really important to do songs that kind of mean a lot to me. And I used to do a cover of Just What I Needed by The Cars as well. That works quite nice acoustically. And It Ain't Me, Babe, by
Bob
Bob
Dylan.
Dylan, which again was for a covers album that I did,
Yeah.
the compilation covers album.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they sometimes pop up and make an appearance live.
I've always been a fan of cover versions, particularly if they're taken in a slightly different direction. I think, you know, that's perhaps why I've never really liked boy bands and those kind of identikit pop bands who just do a kind of a facsimile of another song. And it's just, you know, people who
Yeah,
take
it's just a bit pointless,
covers
isn't
it.
it? It's like, yeah,
No.
take it in a different
Make it your own.
direction, and yeah.
You know, Jimi
Yeah.
Hendrix All Along the Watchtower, just compare it to the Dylan original. It's just
Oh
incredibly different. It's
yeah,
just brilliant.
totally. Yeah.
Okay, so in that short space of time talking to covers, you've mentioned an awful lot of different kind of genres. And it did I see you as a singer-songwriter, but that kind of actually, for me, that makes it too narrow. I think you're more than that. I think, sure, you write songs and you sing, but you perform and you don't appear afraid to perform with some very different artists and some very different material as well. So I think, how do you see yourself? But I know you kind of call yourself like the seven-fingered pianist, singer-songwriter, or whatever, but how do you see yourself as a musician? Where would you position yourself?
I mean, I'm just if there's a job going, then I'll take it because it's what I do for a living. But yeah, generally, I'd love to be described as an artist. I think that's quite a nice label to have. And I think if I look back on how I feel over the past sort of 4 or 5 years of doing this, I do feel a lot more like I've got a place at the table and I deserve a place at the table and I can do and say and write whatever I want with in a much less apologetic way. I mean I'm very sarcastic and self-deprecating, but that's just what I'm like as a person. But in terms of like artistic output, yeah, I feel a lot more, I can do something quite like a bit arty. Even though like I play in punk bands, I can still do something a bit off the wall and a bit serious and a bit orchestral or unusual or quirky or whatever, and I don't worry about that. So
That's good. Do you think you've really grown into that? Do you've what, 4 albums in 5 years? You've clearly developed a lot in that time.
yeah, I feel like I have. Yeah, it's been a really interesting journey. And it's all everything I write and do as a performer, I feel like it's very personal. I'm not putting on a persona to do any of this. Like it's just who I am. So I think for me, being authentic is very important. So all the songs I've written in that space of time, they've all been reflections of my personal growth, and journey, and like
That's
how
it.
I've changed as a person, and want to share that with other people because we're all in the same boat, aren't we? We're all
Oh,
trying to
yeah.
figure everything out, so it's good to share the ideas.
I actually I changed careers last year, so this is my hobby job, what we're doing here. But so I became a teaching assistant at a local senior school last year,
Right.
working with special education needs kids, and it's so fascinating. And one of the kids in year 7 today, I said to him, "Did you understand that question?" He said, "I don't understand life, sir." I said, "Well,
Oh,
no." And
I love it.
"I said nobody does." "What do you mean? You're an adult. You must." I went, "No." I said, "You live your life, you try and be the best person you can, you try and be kind, you try and be creative, and that's it." But he said, "You're an adult, why don't you know?" I said, I honestly don't. Who understands life? It's there, you live
Yeah.
it, And it's kind of that kind of thing I find quite fascinating. And I think there is a certain honesty in your songs. For me, it comes across. So I'm sure it does for anyone else who listens or sees you play live. In fact, the last time I saw you play live was with Ginger, and that was at the Fulford Arms back last August.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was last night, the tour. Yeah, that was quite eventful.
It was an interesting night. I think Ginger was probably a bit up and down that night, but she's still a great performer. And I think I actually left the Leeds Festival to come back to that for that night. Because,
Oh, did you?
it
Oh.
was if Rage Against the Machine had played, I wouldn't have left. But it was the
Yeah.
1975, and I thought, no, I can't be bothered. Well, not
So
knowing
basically,
that.
what you're saying is we're better than the 1975. I
Well,
like
I think that's
that.
clear based on my actions. That's absolutely clear.
Yeah, I'll take that.
On the same basis, not better than Rage Against the Machine, I guess, but it's
Well, that's, fair enough. Yeah. It's quite a reasonable hierarchy you've developed there. Yeah.
I think I'm sure you could live with that. What's next for Carole Hodge? Okay, you haven't got a formal tour lined up, but what about kind of new songs? You're still writing. I'm assuming that you don't just sit down, write an album, record an album, and that's it. Let's have a break for 6 months. Do the songs keep coming?
Yeah, I mean, I try to have a bit of discipline in terms of songwriting. I used to think that I had to just wait and be struck by inspiration, and that's how it all worked. And that still happens. And I'm all, so that's why I've always got, you know, I always record ideas into my phone wherever I am, whenever they come. But then I sort of think of songwriting as a craft, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll might have an initial idea, but then I have to work with that initial idea to make it into a song. And yeah, and even in terms of like inspiration, it's like if you show up regularly, it's like a tap you can turn on. You don't have to just sit there and, you know, occasionally get an idea. It's like if you put yourself in the right headspace and you decide, I'm going to write a song, you're 100 times more likely to actually write a song than if you don't do that. So, you know, I think of it as it's like a discipline, you know, it's a craft as well as obviously being quite a magical creative process. It's kind of the two worlds colliding for me.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Some of the artists that I'm in touch with on social media. So Dan Lucas or Boss Kane, it was him who actually turned me on to you initially. The amount of times he'll come on social media and say, oh, I woke up with this punk banger in my head, or I woke up with, I think the last one he did was, this is going to be like, you know, Neil Young and Crazy Horse, if it works out. And I just love that kind of, you know, completely open, like, I've got this song going. And I interviewed Dan last year, I think it was. And he is really open about that whole kind of process. And I find that quite fascinating, because I'm not creative in the same sense by any stretch. You know, what I do is kind of just review other people's stuff. So, and I don't play an instrument or anything like that. But I think that whole process fascinates me when I hear people talk about it. You know, how it comes to you and so on. Have you ever written a song and thought, I really love this, but it sounds like something else?
I mean, it's my biggest fear is to write a song that I think is really original and then hear like a pretty much identical version of it that I've obviously listened to at some point. Yeah, but I mean, I take it as a given that anything I write is going to be derivative to some extent.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many chord sequences that make sense, and you know, the foundation of every song has already been done before. That combination of chords and tempo and, you know, key changes or whatever, it's already happened. So I kind of don't worry about that anymore. I used to always be trying to reinvent the wheel and be really like, every single element of what I create has to be completely unique and different. And it's like, no, there's formulas. Everybody uses formulas. Whether you're, even if you're trying to go outside the box, you're probably still going to do something that someone else has done in some way. So it's just about, for me, just trying to create something that I feel is authentic and resonates with me. Because ultimately that's, you know, my songwriting is effectively my catharsis that hopefully other people can get something out of as well. And that's kind of, for me, that's, it's got to be an emotion-led thing. You know, that's what's most important.
That's good. That's good. And so we mentioned earlier on that you got 4 albums in 5 years. First one was 2018, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
So did you ever see yourself as being that solo artist before? I mean, I'm assuming, I don't know much about your background, but did you play in bands before that? Did you do kind of open mic nights? Did you just play for yourself? Or what did you do before that first album?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been playing in bands for like 25 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, and from the age of 15, I've always been writing and in bands and writing for those bands. So yeah, I did all kinds of like sort of punk and rock. It was in a very fun kind of queercore noise band for a while. did the Crass stuff with Steve. First did that in like 2011. Yeah. So yeah, I've always been sort of fronting bands and writing. And then the solo stuff happened. Like I say, started taking it seriously about 5 years ago, and just started booking gigs and getting supports. And I sort of did it to myself as a challenge, because it's you know, when it's just you, it's just me and a piano and a microphone. There's nowhere to hide, really. So I kind of felt ready to try that challenge, and it's just kind of led me to here, really.
Do you find yourself getting quite nervous before you perform?
I kind of like, yeah, I always have a moment. But I don't get stage fright, which I'm quite grateful for. I do know some performers who are literally just an absolute mess. I think I kind of evade that pitfall because I'm always prepared. I always do a proper vocal warm up. I always know exactly what the set's going to be. I always rehearse quite a lot beforehand. So that sort of preparation and routine, I've found over the years, like that's the best way to be ready for a gig and be at your best in a gig is just putting the work in beforehand, you know.
I think I've seen bands and artists before who you look and you think that was okay, but you haven't rehearsed that, have you? And
Oh
it's quite
yeah.
and some if it's that obvious to a punter, you kind of think it must be obvious to you as well. And I think I hate to say the word professionalism, but it is about professionalism because people come to your gigs, they want to see a show, they want to see hear you play the songs to the best you can. And I think it, I think rehearsal is really important for that kind of thing. And I think if you go along to a gig and you think, well, they haven't really worked for this, it's kind of disappointing. So I think you're right in terms of that, most definitely. So are there any artists that you would love to collaborate with that you haven't so far?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm never prepared for it when I get asked it. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think it would be people again who I looked up to when I was younger. Off the top of my head, I'd love to do something with Annie Lennox. I'd love to do something with Marcella Detroit. Somebody like, you know, like Skin from Skunk Anansie,
Oh, you've got some great choices there.
Shirley Manson from Garbage, you know, just like all these bands that, you know, women basically. I want to collaborate with more women. And yeah, just it's all about that context, isn't it? Of like who did you look up to when you were younger and then getting to meet them or whatever, or you know, even if their career has gone completely down the pan since then, they're still a big deal to you, you know. So yeah, I think it would be no, you know, nobody who's like really, you know, sort of hip and happening now. I'm so out of touch with that sort of scene, you know, with the charts and whatever. Yeah, definitely be somebody older that I liked when I was younger.
Yeah, actually, I'm not very much in touch with charts, but I do listen to mainstream radio sometimes, and I have to say, Lizzo is something special. I mean,
Oh
forget
yeah,
the
she's
kind of
awesome, yeah.
forget the kind of photographs showing her backside getting on a plane and things, but I think her songs are so empowering, and I find that really great in this day and age. It's not all me, me, me. It's kind of like, look, you're special. It's kind of and that for me is a standout for this day and age, really.
Yeah. I mean, anything that can empower people to feel more comfortable in their own skin and not, you know, fall for the beauty myth or like whatever nonsense they're being fed about what they should do with their bodies and how they should look, then I'm all for that. You know, she definitely ticks that box.
No, I think it surprised me because I listened to her album and thought, yeah, I like this. It's good. So
Yeah.
I didn't think I would, but I did. A typical Zoom thing, I've just had a pop-up that says we've now got 9.5 minutes left. So
Okay, let's go.
well let's go. So what have you been listening to in the last kind of 6 months? I know you said you're not hip and listen to hip and happening stuff. That doesn't matter. I was listening to Ricky Lee Jones last night, but what have you been listening to that's really good to you?
I'm literally just getting my library up so I can answer that question honestly. Da, 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 da. What I've been
Go for
listening
it.
to recently. Oh, Layla Moss, I really like her new album. She was the singer in Ed Duke Spirit.
All
That's
right,
really
yeah,
good.
I do recognize the name. I'll give that a check. I'll give
Yeah,
that a try.
really rocking. I mean, things just come up and I just listen to them and I don't really know all the time, like when they're from. I've been really getting into Big Thief recently. There's a live album they did, like I think it's from 2017 or something. But yeah, that's amazing. A band called Stick in the Wheel, who are awesome. They're kind of like a folky, I don't know, like folky electro band.
Oh,
I think
just that
they.
description sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck you, Electro. Electro. I'm loving the new therapy single, Joy. That's
I
absolutely
haven't
banging.
heard that. Haven't heard that yet.
Really good, really good. It's like it feels like, Trouble era, kind of like really,
Yeah.
yeah, awesome. There's a band called Civic. They got an album out called Taken by Force, which I keep coming back to. Band called Black Country New Road. I listen to that quite a lot. Who else have I gone back to?
You've already given me a huge list to check out at the
Yeah,
moment,
there
so
we go.
yeah.
That's enough, isn't it, right?
That's a lot of those I'll be listening to this weekend, I'm sure. So
Yeah.
I'm actually one thing I do love at the moment is the new Depeche Mode single. I don't know why. There's
Oh,
something
not
about it.
heard
It's
that.
really it's called Ghosts Again. I don't know whether it's anything to do with the fact that they lost Andy Fletcher from the band
Oh,
a short while ago,
yeah.
but there's something in the lyrics and the mood. It's quite a sad song for me. It feels like it's about, getting older and coming to the end of life and things, but in a there is a positivity to it as well. I thought that was yeah, I really like that. But
Awesome, I'll check that
okay,
out.
in the time we've got left, so obviously we're a long way from being in a perfect world. What would you change it to make it, how would Hodge World look, if you could make one change, one major change to the world, what would
Hodge World, I like it.
it be? Next album title that can be if you want.
Yeah. I would get rid of 99% of the politicians currently working in Parliament. And in-state people who actually had even a vague semblance of understanding what life is actually like for the majority of people in the UK, and who actually had some shred of humanity about them, and cared about moral fibre and being good and being kind and being considerate. And embracing people from different cultures and different countries, and yeah, that would be a really good start. I think that would solve a lot of problems in Hodge World.
Yeah, I think yeah, 99, but only 99% of people in Parliament. But anyway, that I'd have gone for slightly more. But
Oh
it's,
no, there's a
you're
few of
on
them
the
are all
yeah. I
right.
mean, Murray Black, I think, is
That's exactly
amazing.
who I was going to go for.
Yeah,
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 Caroline Lucas, she's all right.
yeah,
Jeremy
yeah,
Corbyn's all right in my book.
yeah. But yeah, I think Murray Black. I think she's one for the future, definitely. I think
Yeah,
you hear her.
hopefully, fingers
You,
crossed.
yeah, yeah. I think I'm always hopeful. It's got to
Gotta
change
be.
one day, yeah. But yeah, so I think we're coming to the end actually. So I really, really appreciate your time once again, and look forward to seeing you play live again sometime soon. Look forward to album number six, whenever that is. Sorry,
Number
album number five,
five.
number five, number five. You wouldn't
I mean,
believe I worked at
hopefully
a
there'll be a
school.
sixth at some
Yeah.
point. Yeah.
You wouldn't believe I worked at a school. I can't count. But. But yeah, looking forward to album number five eventually, but I'll continue to enjoy Vertiginous Drops in the meantime. Carol, just remains for me to wish you well, and thanks once again. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Lovely to chat to you. Thanks for having
All
me.
right, see ya.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. If you've really enjoyed this podcast interview, you can find us in many places. You can find the main site, which is with just a hint of mayhem.blog. You can find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/withjustahintofmayhem. You can find us on Twitter, and we are at a hint of mayhem. Email with just a hint of mayhem at gmail.com. And we're now on Instagram as well, and that's with just a hint of mayhem. Not on TikTok yet. Maybe that will come, but I don't think I'm TikTok ready. We don't do snail mail, but you can contact us, as I've said, in many, many places. Look forward to hearing from you and your comments about the latest recording. Thank you.